As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This is the Athletic Hockey Show.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Athletic Hockey Show. I am Craig Custance, joined as always by Sean Gentile.
Hello.
I should have harmonized with you because we sing so well together, as we know.
you're terrified to jump in.
Oh my God. I was so once you started singing.
Coward.
Wow. You have a good voice. Great show, as always, as you've come to expect on Tuesdays. Charlie O'Connor joins us today to talk Philadelphia Flyers and bit of a mess in Philadelphia, I would say. Injuries, some fans don't seem too excited. Like, all the optimism that's in basically every other NHL city right now, if you dare, go scroll through the comments of any Charlie O'Connor story and get a pretty good sense of where the fans are at.
They were already in bad shape.
They were already frothed up.
And then Sean Couturier, at 29 years old, is about to lose at least a chunk of another season to a back injury, which, you know. Hey, you know that contract, that big contract he signed hasn't even started yet? It's a disaster.
Is there even Ryan a way
Ellis?
Out?
Ryan Ellis has a multi-layered core injury or whatever Fletcher called it that involves body parts that I did not know exist. Have you ever heard of a psoas? P-S-O-A-S?
Yes.
Are you lying to me right now?
So yes.
No. So yes.
Of course not. What am I, a doctor?
It's like, so I didn't even know how to pronounce it. Really sounded like an idiot on the Friday show, which is far.
As opposed to. So
far, far inferior to this one.
It's... But the good news is they got Johnny Gaudreau signed in the offseason. So there's, you know, fans in Philly. No, they didn't. Mm-mm. Although, look, here's what I would – again, I don't want to make this Flyers hour. But people mad about – like, why? Like, what are you going to do with Johnny Gaudreau for the next few years anyways? That team's – there's nowhere to go.
You just lose with a guy you like from South Jersey. It's better than the alternative.
Yeah. Yeah, at least there's, like, a jersey you can buy and – somebody, you know, he wanted to go there.
There's someone you can go see. Like, God bless Cam Atkinson, but I'm not sure what's in the coffers. Charlie had some, basically more bad news at the end of his segment. Like, kind of the worst news in terms of projection for this season that you can imagine. So stick around for that. Whether you love the Flyers or hate them, there is something for everybody.
So we're gonna start here. Sean and Dom and Shayna have been just churning out the best season previews. Mm. I would say not just in hockey, in any sport. Like I read a lot of stuff on our site and other sites, and there's not a preview like these. They're so thorough, so well done. I'm not just saying that because Sean's right here. And I know, I don't know how much Sean is really doing on these. Like, are you doing that much?
See, no. See, that's the trick, baby. Nobody does. They don't know what's me. They don't know what's not. I just said we put out the Canucks preview on Monday. And people were extremely pissed off about it, I think, in both directions. Canucks fans, you know, definitely known for their even keel kind of nature. Drancer really threw us under the bus. No, he didn't throw us under the bus, but he tweeted it out. And obviously, everybody on Earth who's a Canucks fan follows Drance at this point. So we heard it. I ended up going on the Sportsnet affiliate there last night to talk about it. And it's like I said there, like anything you agree with, all me in either direction.
That's right.
Anything you disagree with, you can either blame the computer or you can blame Dom, bunch of consonants, and, you know, take it from there.
Well, someone's going to have to I also think Dom sometimes does it too. Be like, it's just my model. I'd love to. What are you going to do? This is what the model says. I'm on your side, folks.
There's simply nothing that can be done about this. So Shayna, and like I said, anything good, me and Shayna, anything bad, the model / Dom Lestitian.
Well, since you're representing the model, Dom and Shayna, on this particular podcast, I wanted to talk St. Louis Blues because they're coming off a 109-point season, massive goal differential. Blues seem to know what they're doing there in St. Louis. Like, that's a team. Doug Armstrong's kind of sneakily, like, he's just re-upping young talent. You're like, oh, yeah, they have another wave of pretty good players to build around. Lots of reasons to like the St. Louis Blues, unless you wrote a preview about them and you're using the model. Now, we know, if you follow any of this in the past, the model doesn't love the Blues. I think last year probably didn't. I don't believe Dom was projecting 109 points for the Blues. But they come out. So, team, again, it was pretty good last year. And the conclusion was, get ready for a lot of regression, B-. Do you, when you look at that roster, here's your chance to say, this is what I, Sean Gentile, believe about the Blues.
Aside from like larger kind of philosophical, well, we can talk about those actually. I'll write about this stuff and I'll interpret the results of Dom's work and sort of, you know, synthesize all this stuff. But individually, as a fan of the game, I could not care less whether what a team is doing is sustainable or not, or whether they're going to regress. Like, I don't care. I don't bet on hockey. I'm not interested in that. I just want to see entertaining, somewhat unexpected stuff. So like, right. On a personal level, I have no skin in the game. Like, it doesn't matter to me that.
No, we know you don't care, Sean. Like, that's
that the Blues. Well, no, I mean, I mean, yeah, but I think there is some sort of people will assume that if you're writing off of statistics, that you automatically that's sort of the lens that
you want them to be right,
enjoy or, the game, yeah. And you care if they're right or not. And I don't. Like, it doesn't matter to me. I think what the Blues did last year was a blast, and I hope they do it again because I love watching Jordan Kyrou, and Robert Thomas has gotten better every single year. And, you know, I love watching teams do something that from a valid statistical standpoint is not likely, right? And that's what makes the Blues fun. And that's what I think people struggle, and it's understandable because people have a lot invested in the success of these teams, whether you're from St. Louis or whatever, you're a dyed-in-the-wool Blues fan. Like, you don't like people saying that your team is in for it, right? Like, nobody wants to hear that. But part of the fun of last year was watching them manage to, like, do something that statistically was unlikely.
Yeah.
Right. So I loved watching them this year, and I hope they do it again. But all that being said, you know, and for the good work that Doug Armstrong did do, getting Thomas and Kyrou extended, and you know, whatever, it's the same team at its core. So of course the results are going to be the same, right? They're not. It doesn't like the fact that they score more goals than they should based on numbers that are taken from the league going back years and years and years. The Blues score more goals than they should, and that's like basically what it comes down to fundamentally, and that's why we are where they are. The other big variable from last season that has changed, and this to me is the biggest reason to maybe fade them if that's your thing, is that they're going to get a full year of Jordan Binnington. Mm-hmm. And Ville Husso last year was really good. From January on, basically, he was a top five goaltender in the league. And Binnington hasn't been that. He wasn't it last year. He had a great interview with Jeremy Rutherford, yeah, where he talked about things that he's changed and, you know, reason to believe that maybe he can bounce back. But part of what made the Blues shit work last year was that Ville Husso was back there as the eraser at times. Mm. And that ain't true anymore. So I'm gonna have fun watching them and whatever else, but that's really what it comes down to, you know, is like they're not a great play driving team, but they have talented enough forwards with good enough finishing ability to kind of outpace that. That's what it seemed like last year. And now the challenge for them is to see if they can do it again. Is that the longest I've talked uninterrupted on the show?
Great.
Ever?
And that wraps up segment one, folks.
All right.
Thomas Greiss is now in as the safety net behind Jordan Binnington. A couple things that Binnington referenced in talking to Jeremy Rutherford, kind of a new mental approach. He feels really good following, you know, knee rehab. So some positive, like those are the kind of the positive stories you're looking for in training camp. So, you know, Jordan Binnington, it's possible he can, you don't want to rely on Thomas Greiss really, like at this point. So
Charlie Lindgren is a third goalie. He's, you know, he's an AHL guy. Like and who knows, you know, by that, all that's like for me, and after me sitting here and dumping on Jordan Binnington for 90 seconds or whatever that was, Ville Husso coming into last season was a non-entity. Like people people did not expect him to come out and play the way he did. You can look at Binnington and say, all right, he's gotten progressively worse really since he's entered the league and blah, 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 blah. But that's something that's like the effect of goaltending on these teams is just impossible to quantify. Right. It really is. Like if you have a guy who goes on a tear and you're talking about a team whose top end is 92 points versus 109 points versus whatever, that is a hot goalie run. Right.
Yeah.
And by the same token, like if someone goes in the tank for a little bit or for a full season or whatever, you have the New Jersey Devils who if they had gotten even remotely capable goaltending, like 902 goaltending last year. I ran these numbers when we did the Devils preview. The Devils, if they would have gotten 902 goaltending, would have been at break even in goal differential, which is where the Islanders.
That's all.
902.
You're not asking for league average.
You're asking for sub mediocre, like just remotely capable stuff. That's what would have put them, like, you know, in the discussion with the Islanders for above the Islanders and maybe making a playoff run, right? So that's the difference, and that's why, you know, we can sit here and dump on Binnington or any of these guys. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, we don't know what these guys are capable of, basically, unless you're talking about a really, really long, really long tail kind of sample.
One other thing I wanted to highlight on the Blues that I'm not sure I realized the impact or the potential impact is David Perron leaving. And I, like, to me, that was like, oh, kind of a fan favorite. And every once in a while, I see like Jeremy Rutherford kind of fans the Flames, and he'll retweet the Detroit Red Wings account. And, you know, he's trolling and having a good time. And like, great dude, great player. But I'm like, well, you know, at this point, how big a loss are we really talking about here? And then there's a section in this preview. Again, go read this. If you're just a hockey fan, go read this because it's so good. About the loss of, you know, losing him and specifically on the power play. And basically, everything was run through him, and every point was basically run through him. And there was a number here, I'm going to try to find it here, that his 7.64 points per 60 with the man advantage over the last four seasons, so that's a pretty big sample size. We're not just cherry picking a slice of time. Trails only Connor McDavid, Kucherov, and Leon Draisaitl.
Yeah.
Like, that's what? That's superstar production on the power play that just walked out that door.
And walked into Detroit for 2 years and $4.5 million, or whatever it is. Whatever sign, like, whatever deal that was. And look, David Perron's 34. Like, who knows how long he can keep this up. He's at the point in his career now where guys dip off. But, like, and that's another thing to remember. Whenever you're talking, like, an elite power play component makes up for a whole lot of issues, right? And we saw that last year where, like, the Blues feasted on that. And they feasted on the play of Ville Husso. Like, maybe that's stuff it's volatile. It's tough to sustain year over year. You know, it's easier to predict 5-on-5 play. So naturally, you know, short shrift in these things is given to goaltenders and power play points. But guess what? That counts too. I always say this to Dom. Like, I'm like, in, not that he forgets it all that often, but it's like a hobby horse for me. I'm like, power play points count. They count right. for the
we
same amount. They count
for the like, same. Yeah, as, how is he?
Oh, whatever. Five. Like, yeah, yeah. And that is part of why the Rangers were so undervalued and so, you know, like by the statistical model, by like people who pay more attention to that stuff. Is it their power play was fantastic last year? Did they rely on it too much? Absolutely. Is it easy for a power play to go dry in a playoff series? Yes. So, like, you know, you can come at it with all those caveats, but that counts too. And goaltending, whether you can predict it or you think that it's going to be sustainably great, or you think that Ville Husso is a legitimate starter in the NHL moving forward, that doesn't matter. He did what he did last year, and it was fun to watch. So, again, like, I don't want to make it sound like I'm not trying to invalidate all the work that we're doing on these previews, because there's a ton of value there, but there's also baked into all of it, and something that people who read them often just kind of bail on is, like, there's a lot of variance. You never know. It's points can come and go in weird directions, and, you know, this is just the best guess.
Well, what makes these so good to me is, like, this is the time of optimism, right? So if you're reading any preview that's predicated on, like, quotes from the team and kind of your generic, like, traditional newspaper preview or whatever, it's all going to be like, hey, if this happens, and like, everything's great. And if you just read enough of those, you're like, boy, everybody's going to have 110 points this season. This is great. Got
32 teams that are either real contenders or fighting for a playoff spot.
That's right. Maybe. Everybody. And it's like, hey, if this, except for the Flyers, as we'll get to in segment two. But, like, this is one where you walk away and you're like, oh yeah, the Blues, maybe they are going to overachieve, but, like, the conclusion that unless they're, you know, their shooting percentage is again way better than league average, and unless Jordan Binnington figures it out, and unless they find a replacement for a guy they didn't really replace, right? It's not like they brought somebody in to on the power play, and you know, maybe the young guys that they're building around, possible they take a step back. I don't know. It's not like their sample size is huge. It could be rough in St. Louis. Yeah, like, I'm actually, like, I walked away going, oh, I'm actually. Yeah,
you're like,
I'm,
are they going to get.
Minus when you have Nalistic.
Yeah. Are they going to get 27 goals from Ivan Barbashev again? Like, probably not. Mm. And that sort of stuff was a big part of what helped them, you know, keep it going last year, was this insane depth of point production that they got, where they have 920 goal scorers or whatever it is. Like, that's not, like, that was great last year. It was fun to watch. It's not likely to happen again. That's just the way it is. There's a reason that people were so stunned by it, because you don't see it that often. Yeah. But as far as, like, the optimism stuff too, like, just, and it's good. This is the way it should be, right? Like, everybody
of
should.
Of course. That's right.
Everybody should be psyched on some level about their team. That's the fun part of covering hockey, is that, like, if you squint, you can find reasons to think that most teams have something to be excited about. And that's what makes a difference than, say, baseball, right? Teams are actually trying to win. You can quibble with, like, the direction of it. You can argue whether teams are fighting for playoff spots when they should be tanking. But for the most part, Like they're at least trying. And that's in that, and there's something to be said for that at this point of year. But there's also points where like fan bases get drunk off the emotion that they're fed, I think, by, you know, by player quotes or whatever. And it makes them forget what happened the season before and why it happened. And a great example of that was when I don't, when we ran the Islanders, I don't even, I can't even remember. Yeah. Sunday, maybe. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. Multiple people in the replies to the, whether they were in the comments, whether they were on Twitter, whatever, people are like, how can you project that a team that has a vet that has a, that had a Vezina finalist last season is going to miss the playoffs? Talking about Ilya Sorokin with the Islanders. They missed the playoffs with him last season. It already happened.
How can you,
how could you, possibly, you do this?
What how reality you, are you living in?
How could you possibly think that the Islanders with a Vezina caliber season from Ilya Sorokin are going to be on the outside looking in there? Like what could lead you to draw that conclusion? As if it didn't happen 4 months ago. It's insane. And it's funny. And like, I'm fine with it because this is the time of the year that that's supposed to happen, but people just lose their minds. And I'm ready for 16 more days of it or however, or whatever, 10 more days. I'm going to be writing these playoff previews until I die. There's no end in sight.
Well, the good news is as soon as you're done with these, Sean, we need you to get started on the playoff previews.
Like when we hang up, I'm going to write the Stars preview. You psyched? You ready for that?
You know we love the Dallas Stars in this podcast.
Got to do a bunch of it too. It's a lot.
Do you do or?
We've split all this stuff up pretty evenly. And again, like I'm not willing to disclose what sections I do or do not write, but a large chunk of the Stars preview is me. Yes.
A quick bit of news before we get to Charlie and talk Flyers. Spencer Knight, American goalie. We're clear fans of. He's the future of U.S. goaltending in the Olympics and otherwise, of course, as we all know.
What? Jake Ottinger.
Oh, yeah. Future backup goalie in the Olympics
and otherwise. Cheating on him, brother. Let's go.
I forgot about Jake. And you just mentioned the Stars, too, and you're going to be writing a lot about him.
Mm-hmm.
Signs a three-year contract extension worth $4.5 million AAV. Bill Vito doing some work down in Florida. Any immediate thoughts?
Anytime you can pay your goaltenders $15 million between them, you jump on it. Time to figure out what to do with Bob. And that is not Bill's. I mean, it's Bill Zito's problem, it's but that's problem, not his.
But it's that not wasn't his.
That wasn't his decision. So
in fact, I think Bill was in the front office that did not sign. Not that he built, you know, would make it.
No, he packed up.
Conclusions there.
He packed
tried,
up.
They tried in Columbus. No, they were offering him up. Money. He was insane. That's what, see you that's later. What
Bill's. No, that's what Bill's job was. He's the AGM in Columbus. His job was to pack up Bobrovsky's shit and put it on the curb and be like, "All right, enjoy Florida for a gazillion dollars over a million years." That may not be true.
May not be true. All right, we will be right back. We didn't really analyze that. We just announced it. Here we are, just announcing. This is like your news break.
Okay, how about this? Here's what I'll say about that. Is that the Panthers all of a sudden have at least they have their core players locked up. They don't have really have anybody else to worry about. They don't have, you know, quibble with how they did it if you want. But they don't have the Huberdeau extension to worry about or the Uyghur extension to worry about. They have Tkachuk signed long term. They have Barkov signed long term.
Yeah.
There's no like sickle hanging over their heads in terms of their salary structure moving forward. So, you know, it makes sense to maybe get a couple players locked up, but they still, you know, they're locked. Good luck figuring out what to do with the other guy.
Especially a young goalie, 21 years old. Spencer Knight is like, he can just now play, right? Like there's no got to earn the next deal. And I do kind of subscribe a little bit to the having a carrot in front of players, except for goalies, like let them just kind of settle in and have stability.
So. Yeah. You need to, they're a volatile personality type already, and you need to make sure that, you know. But, and, you know, maybe that's what he needs, because having the carrot dangling in front of his face last year didn't work. He wasn't any good. So maybe that's what he needs to deliver on the potential we saw from him in the past, because he was pretty whatever last year.
Charlie O'Connor coming up next. We'll be right back.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
We are now thrilled to be joined by Sean's writing partner when he's writing about music, Charlie O'Connor, who covers the Philadelphia Flyers for the little publication you know as The Athletic. Charlie, how are you, my friend?
Doing good. As me and Sean were discussing before the show, we're just basking in the glow of our successful emo punk.
How did basking in the glow by Os Oso not end up?
Are these songs you guys are referencing? Or
what's basking in the glow is a song. Yes.
Yeah. Song and album.
Song and album. Dude, I think the seeds for that were planted in Montreal. We'd never really hung out for any appreciable time. I feel like we realized at the draft that we had some major, major overlap in taste there. So shout out to Arthur for bringing it along. That was fun. I can't believe that people liked it. Lots of people
I know.
Did.
It was very much a we're just doing this for ourselves kind of article. And then it turned out that other people are just as crazy as we are.
I loved the comments that were like, it seemed like this was created by AI, you know, a confluence of everything I'm interested in just for me. That's when you know you guys have hit the mark.
I was working on it on a flight to Vegas actually for the media event, and I was like banging out, you know, my choices and my write ups for it, and you know, everybody who's ever tried to work on a plane knows this. Half the time, whenever you pull out a laptop, whoever's next to you is like, oh yeah, you got to do some work, huh? And I'm sitting there like making a Spotify playlist and searching like sifting through like which Fugazi song applies to whoever. I'm like, yeah, definitely doing work here. Don't actually look over my shoulder, because I don't want to explain this at all.
I would love for that person to be like, what is it you said you did?
I'm a journalist.
I'm a journalist. Not even for a New York Times company. That would have been. Oh, that was beautiful. It was who? Not we're supposed to talk about the Philadelphia Flyers as part of our season preview, which we will. I promise. But whose idea was it again? Was it Arthur's idea to do that?
It was Arthur. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. It was beautiful.
Here's a segue. In the last like week or so, you've had to do actual work. You've had some unexpected, maybe not wholly unexpected, but it was a busy couple of days for you to start Flyers camp. Obviously, Sean Couturier re-injured his back, and we finally got some kind of clarity on what's been the issue with Ryan Ellis, you know, going back almost a year now. So what have the last few days been like? I think now that you're at least outside of the initial blast of the reality that they're going to be without, that this team's going to be without these guys for a pretty significant amount of time. What's the vibe at the facility? I know that's where we're talking to you from right now.
Yeah, I think, obviously the players and the people in the front office are bummed. I don't think the Ellis news was a surprise to anyone. Right. It was pretty obvious when they traded assets for Tony DeAngelo this offseason that they weren't expecting Ryan Ellis to play at least for the start of the year. Now it looks like he's going to miss the entire year, if not be finished for his career. Seems like that's very much a possibility. But the Couturier news, I think, took everyone by surprise. There was an expectation that he was going to be fine. He actually had media availability the week before the start of camp. and he was telling everyone how great he felt, that he seemed like he was, you know, ready to go and he was excited. And then, you know, the end of last week and early this week is when the pain kicked back up again in his back. And now they're trying to figure out if he's going to need surgery again. So I think that was the real, the one that hit hard, because he's probably the team's best player. And now you're going to be out your 1C at least for some time, if not the whole season.
Yeah, I think it's weird because you watch the moves they made and everyone's like, what direction are they going in? And all of a sudden, then all these high profile players are out. And so now it's pretty clear, okay, this is going to be a rough season. And it's interesting because to me, you hire John Tortorella to get you over the top or to you know, squeeze every last bit of talent out of a roster. And now I'm reading things like, you know, John's actually really good at developing young talent. A lot of people don't know that about John Tortorella, which may or may not be true. I mean, he actually, you know, I thought he did in Columbus, but what's kind of been the message from him? Like, is it, hey, you know, we're here to prove you all wrong that we're going to be better than you think, or is it, hey, we're in for the long haul here?
I think it's kind of somewhere in the middle, which has been honestly my main criticism of what the Flyers have done, particularly this offseason, is that they kind of want it both ways. You know, they want to do this this retool where they're integrating these kids and they're figuring out what they have in these kids, but also they don't want to bottom out and be bad. So it's kind of like, all right, what are we actually doing here? Because if you want to rebuild, it probably helps if you're bad. But then if you hire a John Tortorella, he's most likely, because he's a good coach, he's probably going to make sure you're not one of the worst teams in hockey. Yeah. I do think there is sincerity, though, to the belief that, at least on their end, they think that John Tortorella can get the most out of the younger players on the roster. And that's not just the prospects. I think in a lot of ways, they're most interested in seeing what John Tortorella can get out of guys that are kind of in their mid-20s, you know, guys like Travis Konecny, guys like Ivan Provorov. He thinks, Chuck Fletcher thinks, that Tortorella, one way or the other, is going to find out if these kind of players should be part of the long-term plan or if they need to be moved out because they just don't fit. And I think that's part of the thought process behind hiring Tortorella, is that, you know, we're going to weed out who should be here and who shouldn't be here. And guys that are
interesting,
kind of in their mid-20s where they're not quite young, but they're certainly not past their prime yet, you know, this is going to kind of be a year where they get tested. And the Flyers make final decisions on Travis Konecny, on Ivan Provorov, on Travis Sanheim, whose contract expires at the end of the year. They're going to see if these guys fit with what they believe they're trying to build. And I think that's part of the thought process behind hiring John Tortorella to not necessarily coach a team that's ready to win right now.
I think that's you sort of hinted at it there. I think that's something you've done a good job with over the course of the offseason, is tapping into the anger of the fan base and really, you know, outlining the issues with the plan, but also saying that, kind of making it clear. A popular thing to say about the Flyers right now, or for the last 6 months, for maybe someone who's not as close to it as you are, is to wonder, like, what's going on? What's the plan? And assume that basically that they don't have any, right? And I think, or any real discernible one. And I think what you've done a good job of getting across is, like, there is a plan. You can disagree with it if you want, but it's this and it's this and it's this. And such a big part of that plan, as you outlined it, was getting Couturier back, right? Like, we can sit here and talk about, like, of course, like, it'd be great if they figure out, they'll be better off as a franchise if they figure out exactly what they have in Konecny and Provorov and Sanheim and whoever else. But also a big part of the plan, as you outlined it, was, you know, playing relevant games and getting over the hump because of having the fact that they would have Sean Couturier for a full season. So from, like, a front office standpoint, from a management standpoint, that just got completely blown up. So is it too early to say, or do you anticipate, like, some kind of swerve from Fletcher moving forward? Because, you know, the blueprint that he had for this season has already been kind of nuked.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think you saw that to a degree in Fletcher's first media availability at the start of camp, where it was a very clear pivot, and I outlined this in my article, where, you know, we're going to play the kids. That's actually what John Tortorella straight up said, is that I'm going to play the kids. And I do think it was a rhetorical pivot, whereas if Sean Couturier was healthy, and if Sean Couturier was here for the first day of camp and was on the ice, maybe they wouldn't have made that hard of a rhetorical pivot, because it would have been, well, we're getting Sean Couturier back. Yeah, we don't have Ryan Ellis, but we believe that Tony D'Angelo is going to complement Ivan Provorov. That'll solidify the first pair. And we have our 1C, who just a couple of years ago won the Selkie. Maybe we can, you know, surprise people. And don't get me wrong, there was still some, you know, some talk. You know, Fletcher basically said, we know that people don't believe in us. We're excited to prove everybody wrong. You know, there was a little bit, I think, on his part of, you know, a little bit of frustration that he feels like maybe people have been too negative on the outside about his plan, about what he's done in the offseason. And you could get a bit of that in his conversation. But then you had John Tortorella, who basically straight up said, look, you know, we made our bet. And he really didn't have to say that, because he really did it. He's new to this. It's not his fault.
We in air quotes.
somebody made my bed. Housekeeping, maybe?
Exactly. But he was a lot more conciliatory and basically was like, look, it's on us to prove, not just to the outside, but more importantly to the fans, that we're a team that the fan base should be proud of. And he's kind of putting the onus on himself and the players to play a style, even if it's not necessarily going to make them a playoff team or a contender, but at least not be embarrassing the way they have been for long stretches the last two seasons.
Do you think the offseason looks different if they know Sean Couturier isn't playing this? You know what I mean? Like, is D'Angelo on this team? Is Braun signed? Like, do they do things differently? Because it just seemed like there was a pivot during Chuck Fletcher's press conference that sounded much different than earlier. I just wonder if it's like, hey, this is just the necessary pivot we have to make now, and they're just adjusting to the news.
It's an interesting question. I want to say yes. That said, they really didn't do that much in the offseason. Like, the big move was D'Angelo. And you could say that, well, that's, you know, if you're rebuilding, do you really give up assets for a guy like that? However, I do think there's something to be said, and Fletcher does want to figure this out. What do I have in Ivan Provorov? And there's a belief, and I think this is a true belief, that the last couple years, Ivan Provorov has been placed in pretty impossible situations ever since the retirement of Matt Niskanen. Whereas you had the first year after Niskanen retired, they tried to give Phil Myers a shot there, and he just wasn't ready or wasn't capable of taking on a first pair role. Then they go out to get Ryan Ellis. He plays four games. So I do think part of the thought process behind D'Angelo is that we need to get somebody to give Ivan Provorov a fair shake in first pair minutes who can at least maybe complement him. So they might have done that anyway, even though giving away draft picks that, I mean, wasn't a first round pick, but we're talking about seconds, thirds, you know, not assets that lack value. They might have done that anyway, even if they would have known Couturier was out, just because they want to see what they have in Provorov. That said, if they would have known that Couturier was going to injure his back, maybe, or re-injure his back, maybe they trade some more people. You know, maybe they move a couple more guys out to give even more positions to the kids. Whereas what they really did was not that much. They traded for D'Angelo and then re-signed him. They signed Nicholas Delorier to a four-year contract. So they really didn't do all that much. Maybe they would have done a little bit more on the selling side if they would have had less confidence that Couturier was going to be back.
You know, you said they sort of anticipated this happening with Ryan Ellis, but we also didn't see them, and we went through a whole offseason without them placing him on long-term injured reserve and potentially opening up the possibility for, you know, coming into the season over the cap and having some more money to spend. So is there... I think those are two kind of counterintuitive things, right? Where they're like they had an idea that this would happen with Ellis, but also still, you know, still were hoping it, at least to the point where they didn't, you know, say, all right, this guy's done for the season. That means we can stash him and go out and get Johnny Gaudreau or whatever. So to me, that's from the outside, that's kind of the most confusing part of, or one of the more confusing parts of this offseason for Fletcher, is that, you know, there were mechanisms in place to create some extra cap space, and he didn't pull those levers, right?
Yeah, and you mentioned the big one in Johnny Gaudreau, in that, you know, you've got a situation here where Gaudreau wanted to come to Philadelphia. You know, that was his thing. He wanted to come here. And if you would have known that Ryan Ellis was likely done for his career, which I don't think they knew at that point of the summer, then it's much easier to justify fitting a Johnny Gaudreau in there. And I think the Gaudreau thing was what angered the fans more than anything else. Because you had, back in January, when Chuck Fletcher and Dave Scott, who's the essentially the owner, he's the CEO and chairman of Comcast Spectacor, which owns the team, they basically acknowledged that this team needs more high-end talent. And something I pushed them on in that press conference was, but if you don't think you're going to bottom out, how are you going to get the high-end talent? Because generally speaking, you get high-end talent by picking at the top of the draft. And they kind of hemmed and hawed a little bit. But you have a clear high-end talent who wants to come to your team, and you basically just said, now we're good. And I think that blew everyone away because, I mean, look, it's been an open secret in hockey circles probably for the last half decade that Johnny Gaudreau wanted to be a Philadelphia Flyer. You know, that was well known. That was not something that people didn't know. And I think there was a feeling, a justified feeling on the part of the fan base that, you know, you could have planned years in advance for this. And instead, you just kind of threw up your hands and said, well, we couldn't trade James Van Riemsdyk to clear cap space. So sorry, Johnny, can't come to Philly.
And there was like a quote too. It was just like, yeah, it was the money. Whatever the quote was, it was like, you know, it was like by the person who created the issue. It was such a tough look, you know, for the fans.
Nobody knows who to. We're trying to find the guy who's to blame for this.
That's right. That's right.
It was guy in the hot dog suit. What, Charlie? What is this? Okay, so what are the events of the last week or whatever? Losing Couturier unexpectedly, losing Ellis somewhat expectedly. What do those do for Fletcher's job security? I know you had a piece run early in the season saying, like, you know, basically that you can envision a scenario where he'd be in some trouble. Does this get him more rope or less?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I do think part the reason why he is still the general manager of this team is because there's a feeling on the part of ownership that he's had extremely bad luck, that, you know, a lot of this has been out of his control and this is just more bad luck. So yeah, it might give him a little bit more rope. It's possible. That said, and this is something, I mean, I know just from covering the team on a daily basis, I've never seen the Flyers fan base this angry. Like, they are absolutely livid. And the hard truth is that at some point, like, ownership realized that the one thing they could probably do if the team is real bad again to at least engender some goodwill on the part of the fan base is fire the guy that the fans just literally want to string up right now. So, I mean, that is an option, just because ownership, you know, they kind of did it last year with Alain Vigneault. And not saying that relationship hadn't run its course, because I think it did, but that did seem to me to be something of a, well, things are real bad, we need to throw someone to the wolves. And if that happens again, then yeah. I mean, if Fletcher has to know that if the team's languishing in last place come December, that they may need a sacrificial lamb, just because everyone's so mad and the arena's so empty that something has to be done. At least the ownership is going to feel like that, just to pacify people.
I'm just trying to think of a scenario where a GM had lost the fan base to this degree and rebounded. Do you know, I feel like once it turns like this, it's really hard to, and what's going to happen this year, they're going to be bad, right? So there's not going to be a surprise success or something that people, that Chuck, unless he pulls a rabbit out of his hat at the trade deadline with a great trade for a young player or something, I just think it's going to be really hard to, in the short term, win the fan base over, and you're just going to have this cloud over the organization for a while. I don't know. It's such a tough spot. Because I also don't think the ownership's wrong to say he has been, you know, there's been a lot of bad breaks along the way here.
No, it's an extremely good point. And it's funny. I mean, one of the few things I can think of as a comparable is, it's cross sport, but a lot of fans really, really turned on Howie Roseman as the general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles. And now the Eagles are, you know, looking great this year. They're 3-0. Suddenly it's, you know, oh, Howie's great, he's so smart. So it can happen even at a fan base that's as crazed as Philadelphia. But I do agree, it's pretty
good. Yeah.
I don't know if I don't know if Jalen Hurts is walking through that door.
I was going to say, all they got to do is bring in Jalen Hurts.
Charlie, what do you think? All right. So when we're talking to you again, doing the postmortem in May or whatever, what do you think? What do you think happens? What's the most likely outcome for this team? Because there's just so many variables here, and we can let you go after that.
Yeah, sure. If I had to guess, I mean, I think this team is it's not a playoff team unless John Tortorella does like the coaching job of his life. I do think he's a good enough coach that he will make them not one of the worst teams in hockey, which in truth might be the worst thing for this team, because getting one of the top three players in the draft would definitely put them on some sort of path. So that's kind of where I'm envisioning the season going, where, you know, they're not as embarrassing as they were last year, but they're not actually a contender in the Eastern Conference, even for a wild card spot. That's what I'm envisioning. You never know. I mean, with the kind of luck this team has, maybe they will be so bad that they'll be involved because everyone will get hurt again. But right now, I'm sort of envisioning this team to fall somewhere in like the 6 to 10 spot draw in the lottery. And then, hey, maybe they get lucky from there. Who knows?
I mean, best thing that could happen to this team is like, They lose a bunch of one goal games. You know, they play hard. John Tortorella puts in some culture, that, you know, a work ethic, and some of the young guys develop, and they lose every game by one goal. Like, that's best case scenario here. Fun season.
Worst kind of bad team. Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. Charlie, thanks for doing this. We know you got to run. You're actually doing your job there at the facility. So thanks for hopping on and joining us. And best of luck. Enjoy John Tortorella. I'm glad you're. No, we didn't even talk about first impressions there. He's a fun coach to cover, so it should be at least an interesting year for you.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely looking forward to covering John Tortorella. It'll be fun. But thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
That's Charlie O'Connor, about to embark in a year of misery. I don't know.
Magic.
Let's go up. I don't know. It's those teams are actually fun to cover sometimes. So you know. It should be interesting for Charlie, and the Flyers are always interesting. So, thanks for joining us, Charlie.
Godspeed. Godspeed. Good luck out there.
Coming up next, your favorite segment, segment 3, where there may or may not be reader comments, because neither of us probably opened the app.
Oh, they're back.
They're back.
This is the only good segment on the show. It's back in a big way. So are you, the commenters, who we've tasked with doing our job. I'm glad everyone found the... it was tough. You guys weren't in the comments. You guys didn't have to find the comment section for however many...
We had to give the listeners a little break. Like, we needed a little break. Just, you know what I mean? All that work they put into making the show what it is.
Yeah, but you gotta go and find it on the app, which, as we've established, you whatever, go three lights down, make a right at the old Wendy's, take a bend around the lake.
what used to be a Taco Bell that's now
it's not anymore. And then you lower yourself into the wishing well and enter the caverns, where you will find the troll and you will have to answer his riddles 3, and you will be clear to leave a comment.
Hey, can I file a complaint, though? Is this where I can complain?
Yeah, sure.
Congratulations on the Friday show with you and Haley. I like it. It's well done.
Oh, yeah, you like it. How about you tell us what we talked about last week, then, if you like it so much?
Oh, sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Trevor Zegras. Let's see. Jack Campbell, American-born Michigan. You could even say Michigan native Jack Campbell. Oh, contract talks with Trevor Zegras. America's greatest young talent.
Oh man, I should have.
Sounds a lot of Flyers talk. Maybe that could have been a Tuesday episode. Maybe. I mean, look, I'm all for you and Haley having your own show, but can you make it like slightly, like 5 degrees different than the Tuesday show?
Jack Campbell.
I mean, can you make my replacement less obvious as you're wheeling me out the door?
It's not your replacement. I also have much less respect. I don't have to carry that show. Haley can handle it. unlike certain other people. Also, Jack played for the Maple Leafs, and he plays for the Oilers now. He's dead to me. I said that to him in the interview. I was like, you're breaking my heart here. You're signing with another Canadian team.
It is kind of, it's bad that he did that. But I mean, he comes onto the scene as Captain America. Like, that's what he's, well, forever. He could win a Stanley Cup with the Leafs, which I'm sure he will this year.
Sweetie,
and all we'll ever remember Jack Campbell for is the World Junior Championship. All right.
If he does nothing else with his career, I'm glad to see everyone loves the new intro music.
Oh, is that okay? I'm getting into the comments here. So The other thing I want to tease too is, Sean, I just got an email, and it has. I forgot about this. I feel like this is radio bit, and it's hacky. And
yeah,
I
apologize. This is a bummer.
This is so bummer. Bad. It's a bummer, and you can pass on it. But and again, I don't even want to give it attention. I never open these PRs, but it was the league's most handsome coaches, as determined by like some AI software.
Yeah. Have you ever?
Never guess who's number two.
Do you? I've started on Mondays. I just go through PR releases that I get and unsubscribe from the list. Like I can't handle it.
This one's pretty bad.
So I may have unsubscribed from whichever weirdos sent this to you. All right. So what are we doing here?
We're doing most attractive. I want to like give the readers their share of time, their fair share here, because they have earned it. They have earned it. Richard S. What?
Yeah. I know.
With all due respect, this is Richard S. This is the opening comment in our return. Is we're already complaining. I guess I opened with a complaint.
Whatever.
With all due respect, which if you say with all due respect, as we know, you can say whatever you like after that.
Yes.
The new intro blows. Star Spangled Banner sample is great, which it is, but everything else isn't. Why have you done this to me?
It'll grow on everybody. That's the way it goes. Website redesigns, all that stuff. Like people always.
Nobody likes change, but it's a better intro.
Raquel H is back on board with like more positive stuff. We can count on her. She's been in there before. She's reliable. Hell yeah, Tuesday Boys are back. Glad to hear you. She loved the Inside Baseball Me stuff, which I'm glad makes one of us, I suppose.
I am here. If you want me to contribute to the show, I ask a lot of Inside Baseball media questions. Go ahead.
No, thank you. She liked my McKinnon impression.
Really? Which, did you go into McKinnon? I know you were quoting him a lot.
I was just kind of screaming into my microphone with like a light Canadian accent.
Not as good as your vessel, but good.
It comes a little less naturally. Imagine that. She asked if I practiced that at home. I did not. That was straight off the dome. And she did mention, you know, what we said about the McDavid interview where he just, whatever, dropped the ball with the Hockey Canada assault investigation answers. And also we dropped the ball too. And we talked about that and whatever. Yeah. That's part of it. Like when we screw up, or when I specifically screw up, I think it's fine to say so, even though that doesn't need to turn into, on some level, nobody gives a shit, but and it does need to be like a consistent thing, because nobody wants to hear media guys hoist themselves self-righteously on their own petards during podcasts, but I think the situation called for it last week.
Also, I would like to apologize. I didn't. If somebody's Slack was on, I would not be able to listen to a podcast because that was the main reason. I would shut it off.
Mm-hmm. That was the main reason. One of three reasons I brought up Raquel's comment was that was my bad. I had set up a new work computer that morning or the day before or whatever it was. They sent us new machines here for work that were, I think, if we don't use them, I feel like somebody comes to our house and like black bags us. And, you know, so whatever. I needed to get that going, and my Slack notifications were all screwed up because I set up a new machine, and I was unaware that it was transferring over to the record. That has since been fixed, and I'm very sorry about that, because it was making me stressed out as I went back and listened.
I hate even like commercials.
It sucks.
There's a commercial. It sucks. It should be illegal. I would like panic because, my goodness, we're all trained to.
It's like
circus animals to respond to every notification we get.
It's kind of like a cousin of when there are songs on the radio that have a police siren in them.
Mm.
Have you ever run into that? If there's like a weird siren sound like in the background, and yeah. Yeah, you either think you're getting pulled over or pull over because you think it's an ambulance. It's kind of the same thing. Like you have that, like your stomach drops a little bit when you hear it, because everybody works too much and is available to their employers 24 hours a day.
And we thank you for that, Sean.
Thank you. Yes. My check's in the mail. We got a question from Sam F. This might be a good one for you, Craig. Sammy Loft.
Okay, sure.
We're approaching Gary's 30th anniversary as NHL commissioner. Sam wants to know if we're surprised that he's lasted this long, what the proper celebration of the milestone should be, and barring, you know, anything unforeseen, what season will be Gary's first where he's not the commissioner? Mm. How long you think Gary's still on the job?
Here's Samuel. Let me start with a, how surprised are you? I am not surprised.
Not. Like, yes.
Zero. Because here's the thing. I have not written a hockey story in over a year. I covered the league for over a decade. And before that was writing hockey, you know, for a newspaper where we had access to Gary. I think we've been asking Gary about his next plans or retirement plans that entire time. Like, I've literally asked Gary, like, hey, anytime you do this retrospective or there's an anniversary or there's a big moment or it's a outdoor game, you know, one of the questions is, Gary, now that I think about it, it was probably pretty offensive when we started asking him in his late 40s, but when are you going to retire? And he's like, I will do this job. Basically, I'm probably paraphrasing. I don't know if he's ever said it like this, but the impression I got, as long as they will let me do it. He likes the job. He wants to keep doing it. He's given no end. You know who I feel bad for is Bill Daly, who's been sitting there as his number two, like, hey, Gary.
You good? What are your plans here? Other thing is Bill can just do the crummy parts of the job, like sit in front of us at the media events and go through the car wash and talk about whatever. Talk to me and Russo about uniform patches and stuff like that. Producer Jeff just compared Bill Daly to Prince Charles, which I think is.
I don't know. Is that a Canadian? Is that some sort of? I don't know who that is.
Yeah, that means that someday Bill Daly will be on Canadian money. I think that's. Oh, okay. I think that's all that.
It's possible. I'm not surprised. The proper celebration, like Gary's, he's the commissioner. He's the owner's commissioner. As fans, I don't think there's any celebrating.
He's the people's princess.
You know, like. Like Gary's, he's just there to serve the owners. Like that is his primary job. Is you know, and that's what he does. And so you know, like I've actually my interactions with Gary's, I always enjoy them. But then you're also reminded you get this frustration level where he's just denied, like doesn't acknowledge things that were like, hey, this is so obvious. Look, you know, concussions, and you know, he's a lawyer who serves the owners. So as fans. There's what's a proper celebration for that? I don't know. Some like legal speak statement from us as you know what I mean? Like some
they can make a cake for him in the office and
say all that as someone who he's always been good to me and or whatever. Like I've always enjoyed like he's a different person than the person you see at the podium. Like he's funny and all that, but like you're always clear who he's serving, and that is the NHL owners.
Most of the time that's funny, and then some of the times he gets up there and craps the bed like he did during the Blackhawks stuff.
Yes, so, like whatever. It's going to be a complicated legacy.
Happy anniversary, Gary. I believe he signed a contract extension at the Board of Governors.
When will be the first season Gary is not the NHL? In part three of this three-part question, I will say 2035. How old would that make him? I don't know. He's not going
100. I don't know. We're not going to know until he's never, that's the thing. We are never going to be told like when that happens. Like it's going to be upon us. We're not going to know that it's like, I'm done in 5 years. Like the runway we get on that.
No, it'll be like,
is going to be, much
we'll get,
shorter.
We'll get a Friday at 5:30 email that says, congratulations to Gary Bettman on your retirement. And I can only imagine what if like, it's not Bill Daly. I feel terrible for Bill.
His last contract was for 6 years and it expired this summer. So that's a nice ballpark. But yeah, I'm not going to hazard a guess there. Emily L. also likes Gentile Does the Name of the Game impression. How about this?
I got to go back and listen.
I didn't think it was that funny, but all right. I hope Wyshynski's listening to this. I can let him know that my impressions are better than his.
Brandon L. asks, it's been a week. Is Mac McKinnon overpaid yet? No, he won't be.
Nope,
he's underpaid.
Never will
he's
be.
Probably underpaid. Jen F. takes exception to my comment that you closed the book on new music at the age of 22. I'm 54 and discovered alt rock about 5-6 years ago after decades of prime. Oh, yeah, I shouldn't project, Jen. You're right. Just because I closed the book. Here's something. I still think of Yankee Hotel Foxtrot as a new album. I'm like, oh, that new Wilco album. And they're, yeah, they're doing like Rolling Stone 25-year retrospectives about that album.
This is like, we're on like reissue number 15 of that. The super ultra mega, yes, Jeff Tweedy secret vault release of that. Carlos asks, his boss says the boys are back in town. It's Tuesday, boys, three Z's. He asked about my thoughts on Julian McKenzie taking over as co-host of the Monday show, especially in light of his comments re the size of my head, which came which came in the spring. I love Julian, man.
He's great.
I love listening to his show and Ian's show because it's like more professional than us by a degree of 10,000.
I like that people want our opinions on the reshuffling of the Athletic hockey show schedule. We're making some moves, adding episodes. Congratulations to Haley and Sean and their show that, from what I can tell, looks like a repeat of this one. let's see. Chris J says, welcome back, American boys, with three Z's. I like that people added the trademark. I don't know how you do that. Probably won't see this till
after. It's because I filed for it.
Oh, did you? I'd like to hear Bill Zito's perspective of dealing with John Tortorella on the management side. Yeah, we're going to, Bill Zito's on our guest list, although we have a special guest recording later today for next episode that we are, I'm not going to spoil because it'll be fun. Bill Zito adjacent, kind of, a little bit.
Yeah. Like
there's some connective tissue. Bill's really good on Tortorella. We'll ask him.
I think the Bill Zito interview we did last year was maybe our best. It was really funny. Because Bill just let us run out of gas. He was like, "All right, you guys done yet?"
He would say things like, "No, I know you guys think this is a joke." That's probably like, why they're running the delay. He's like, "I gotta do that show again."
I'm being. There was definitely one point he was like, "No, I'm serious." Like, guys, yeah, okay.
Micah says, "Yeah, one yacht rock song for every NHL team." There you go, Sean. The follow up, yacht rock.
I think we can do that. Then I can break out my Michael McDonald impression.
Can you do it, please? She wanna show me back in the little place. Run around the hood and see me.
Run in the hood and see me. Come on, you should have been playing whatever. You leave me out to dry on this one.
I will not be contributing. We've seen what happens. I think that was on my review was... look, Craig.
I would love to know who is doing your performance reviews and why is it Paul Krugman? That's just who I assume.
Mm-hmm. It's Paul Krugman.
It's a Sullenberger's or a Sussberger of some sort.
Thank you for the comments, everybody. Unless you have one more you wanted to add, Sean, but those were great.
Yeah.
I just like to be the welcome back. It was fun to be back in the saddle. Great questions as always. Leave them again so we can have a segment. And I'm like panicking because I have a heart out in like 4 minutes here. But
fine.
If you can name the top three most handsome coaches. You get three guesses.
Oh my God.
Any of them.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say. And I'm going to give credit because this is what they want. It's some gambling site.
It's fine.
I feel like I have to acknowledge it.
No. You don't have to say who did it.
Research by gambling.com. They came up with it. They win. They won.
They're sending this shit to you for free. You don't have to worry about that. All right.
Tricked into it. They compiled this with a score of 9.18. This is the only one to score in the nines. I don't know what the scoring system is. The next one's an 8.9 and then an 8.68. Your top three most handsome coaches. Number one. Go ahead, Sean. I'll give you three guesses to get any one of these three. And this is not me judging there because I'm just saying it could be anybody.
Luke Richardson.
No.
See, you're making me think that there's like that there's some reason to think that these are David Quinn's back. He's handsome. No?
Yeah, I agree. Handsome fella. No.
No.
David Quinn's 29.
Oh my God. Lane Lambert.
Yeah, 6.89.
Lane Lambert.
here's the thing. I'm going to give the reveal and we're going to like, I don't want to laugh, but it's just not who you, because it's Daryl Sutter was number two, and Daryl, that was the one I was surprised.
That's so funny. This is based on what? An AI thing?
Yeah. Like proportion of, again, I don't want to give this any more attention than we are, but some sort of technology that uses beauty symmetry, an algorithm. And your 64-year-old
Daryl Sutter
is number two.
Based on an algorithmic notion of beauty is the second ranked out of any group of people. That's wild.
We all know John someone Cooper who knows is the most handsome tell him. Coach, in my opinion, number 27. Jay Woodcroft, friend of the show, is number one at 9.18. He may be the youngest coach in the league, so he has that advantage.
He's got probably a leg up there.
Yeah. So, and Derek Lalonde, newsy, if you will, amongst his friends, 49-year-old coach. Okay. So I think the two young ones, they came in.
Poor Brad Larson. Sense.
Sheldon Keefe's 42.
You got suckered. You got suckered here, dude. That's a lie. They're
you
making
think they
shit
just
up.
Made all those numbers up.
Yeah, because what would make someone want to talk about?
Yeah,
this?
If it was like Cooper, Sheldon Keefe. Whatever.
You know what's shocking?
Jay Woodcroft.
Daryl Sutter at number two.
I fell for it. Listener, I'd like to apologize. I'm better than that.
No, you're not.
Rob Pizzo, Jesse Granger, and Mike Russo are the Wednesday roundtable. Give it a listen, but really listen to Haley and Sean on the Friday edition and just give me your honest feedback if you think they're stealing a little bit too.
And now Craig has to go, so he's leaving me to do the ad reads all by myself. Maybe I'll do them in McKinnon voice for the three people that enjoyed that.
Follow us. I didn't even know you did. Follow us on your favorite podcast platform and leave a rating. Yeah, leave a rating, please, folks. In review, subscribe to The Athletic Audio Plus on Apple Podcasts to get bonus content. I'm not sure if it says this week, but I don't think it is.
It's not.
Start with a 30-day free trial, then 99 cents a month after that. And right now, you can subscribe to The Athletic for just $1 a month for 6 months. And you visit athletic.com/hockeyshow and you can leave comments in the app. That's good stuff. Also, if you're referencing us on social media, of course, it's hashtag TuesdayBoys with 3Zs.
3Zs.
Thanks to Charlie O'Connor again for joining the podcast. Thanks to producer Jeff for, what did you say last week? He has to cut our food up and
cut up our food.
Feeding it to us. And thank you for listening.